gospel, we find that Mary had a visit from the angel Gabriel. Joseph had been visited by the angel of the Lord, but now Mary, she was visited by the angel Gabriel, and he told her she would conceive by the Holy Spirit. And this was shocking to Mary. I mean, you could imagine, of all the news that a young teenage girl would hear, that all of a sudden that she would be told by an angel that she's going to have the Son of God. I mean, wow. How's that for some big news? The Scripture says in Luke 1:35, the angel replied to her question. In fact, you know, the angel announced to her this news, and Mary asked a pointed question. Well, okay, like, how can I have a baby if I haven't been with a man? How does this work? And this is what the angel said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God. That's interesting that the angel gives this news to Mary. She receives it. She doesn't really ask any other questions. In fact, the latter part of Luke chapter 1 and 2, we just find that Mary begins to sing a song of joy. I mean, she was pumped. Most of us would have pushed back and said, now God, wait a second. What does this mean? Or what am I supposed to do? Or we would have been panicked or whatever. Mary's like, oh, okay. Yeah, like the Holy Spirit's going to come over me. I'm going to, yeah, okay. Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll have the Son of God. You know, yeah, we'll do it. And notice what the angel says to her. The final thing is, for nothing is impossible with God. You see, there's two messages of the virgin birth. The first is simply this, God is with us. But the second is this news that was announced to Mary, and that is, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. And if God could conceive, allow a teenage girl to conceive by the Holy Spirit, then if something that miraculous and that supernatural and something that dynamic could occur, then God could do anything, right? Now, we have a problem oftentimes believing that all things are possible with God because we have a little God. A lot of times our perception of who God is something foreign to the Scripture, and we have little gods that we worship. The little gods that we worship come in the form of things like, God is my grandpa. You know, sometimes we think God is really old, he's really slow, he's really old-fashioned, he does things very things that are very boring and mild, and so what is this whole God thing? All things are possible with God. Wasn't it interesting that the whole Christmas narrative was dramatic? I mean, God was creative. He was innovative. He was doing things never done before. You had the virgin birth. You had the star over the place where Jesus was born. You had the shepherds being visited by angelic choirs. You had the angel Gabriel flapping his wings and announcing this good news to Mary. You have an angel of the Lord talking to Joseph. I mean, this is anything but predictable or boring. Sometimes we think, well, God's just too busy. He has so much going on, he couldn't possibly be concerned with me. You know, could I get on God's day planner? Well, probably not. You know, a lot of times that's the way that we think. But you know what? We can't project human traits upon a holy God, a divine God. We can't even understand how God manages the whole world. He does it, but it's not in a way that we understand. It's not a way that we can relate to exactly because we're human. And so we can't expect God to be like us. The problem is that God can't be compared to a man. And sometimes we're just plain disappointed with God, if we're just really honest about it. You know, the thing that really prevents us from saying, man, all things are possible with God. And if Jesus could be born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, then I think he could take care of whatever problems that I have. Sometimes the greatest detriment or the greatest struggle that we have is just being disappointed with God. We prayed about something and it didn't happen, or we were disappointed or frustrated. But listen, in moments of disappointment, I want you to ask yourself two questions. Number one, what can I learn from what's going on in my life? And then where is God trying to lead me? Because you know, most of the time when we get disappointed with God, the reality is we begin to try and fit God around our agenda rather than trying to find God's agenda for our life and then fit our life around that. That's where we get disappointed with God. God didn't do what I thought he should. God didn't do it the way that I thought he should have done it. God didn't do it in my timing. And that's where we get frustrated and disappointed. So if things aren't going in your well in your life and they're not going like you think they should, then maybe God's directing you another way. Maybe God's sending you another direction. Maybe he's sending you another purpose. Maybe there's just a whole new stratosphere that you haven't even thought about today that would rock your world if you would begin to follow it. J.B. Phillips, the theologian, says it this way: God has never been known to disappoint a man who is sincerely waiting to cooperate with his purposes. Isn't that great? See, when we begin to have a big God perspective, we believe that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing's impossible. I mean, Jesus had a dramatic birth, the virgin birth. He had a dramatic exit in the resurrection and the ascension. I mean, everywhere Jesus was, it was high octane. It was energy, man. God was shaking things up. It wasn't the same old anymore. It was supernatural because nothing's impossible with God. And if God could send the Holy Spirit upon Mary to conceive a son, then is there any problem in your life today that is too big for God? Is there any marriage today that's too messed up to be saved? Is there any financial crisis that is too big for God to overcome? Is there anyone who has sinned so greatly that God can't forgive them? What if we lived our whole lives by the motto, nothing is too big for God? Nothing is impossible. Can you imagine what life would be like? Can you imagine what our marriages would be like, our families would be like, our workplaces? If we just lived by the motto and the mantra, nothing is impossible with God. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the virgin birth. Every time we see a picture of the baby Jesus in the manger, we need to remember two things. God is with us, and nothing is impossible with God. I'll tell you what, the Edge Church is a fellowship where God is with us. Many of you know that there were only about four people meeting in a Bible study this time last year. And now here we are a year later, and the Lord just continues to bless and to bless and to bless our church. And I tell you what, if you hang around here long enough, you begin to develop a mentality that says, God is with us and nothing's impossible with God. And just the fact that there's so many of us here this evening is just a constant reminder that God is with us. God is with us. And I tell you what, if you don't have a church family, I would love for you to consider coming and be a part of the exciting journey at the Edge Church where God is with us and where we really believe nothing is impossible with God. That can be your life today as well. The message of the virgin birth, man. God is with us and nothing's impossible with God. I want to just give you a chance today to ask Jesus Christ into your life. And maybe you've done the religion thing and you know maybe you've been to church before and maybe you've even read the Bible, but just to be honest, you've never really invited Christ to come in, the Christ of Christmas, to be the leader of your life. You've never asked him into your heart. Maybe you know some facts about him. But today you're ready to step across the line, and hey, what a great time to do that on Christmas Eve, to say yes to Jesus Christ. I'd like to just lead us in a word of prayer. If everybody would just close their eyes and bow their heads for just a moment, nobody moving around or nobody talking, but just everybody just quiet as we just talk to God for just a minute. Today, if you'd like to invite Christ into your life, would you just say, Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray you'd forgive my sins and that you would make me a brand new person. And now, Lord, I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what he did at the cross and the resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.